On this week's episode, we bundle up with Ice Age. Do you hate the Ice Age baby? Is this just Monsters, Inc. plus Shrek? And where's all the ice? Find out now. You're listening to 24 Flames Per Second. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to 24 Flames Per Second, the podcast that roasts the films we love the most. And as always, I'm your host, Robert Spiewak. And this week, we are going to maybe try like a frostbite kind of burn sort of thing. We're heading into December, everybody. It's a cold year. Everyone's alone, and we're all in our houses by ourselves. And so welcome to the show this week, starting off on a light note. Hey, at least we're not falling into like a lava pit or about to become extinct, but maybe, who knows, everybody. But welcome to the Ice Age episode this season to kick off our holiday season, our December winter month episodes, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we're super excited to jump into this one this week. I hope everyone's Thanksgivings were responsible and safe and also good. And so now we are turning the steering wheel over to December, everyone. And so yeah, we're gonna get right on into it. And before we get to the panel this week, we're gonna start with the scrat to my Diego, Kwesi Phillips.
What's up?
Hello. How's it going?
I couldn't be Manny. I'm the squirrel.
You
rat.
Could be Manny.
The acorn to my scrat.
Oh, I should have done that. That's a good one. Anyways, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I am on a little bit of a hiatus before I start a new job. So
that's right. I'm
fully enjoying the little bit of time off.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm loving this. I went into a full animation rampage to prepare for this movie. So.
An animation domination.
Yes. That sounds like a marathon on Fox.
that's what it's called on Fox.
Is that what that's called?
Sunday night. It's called animation domination.
Hey, no free pub. No free pub, man. Come on.
You're right. Fuck you. Also, fuck you. yeah. Anyways, did you watch the movie this week?
I assume I sure did. I did.
Yeah. What do you know about it?
I remember this as the movie that I was introducing Ray Romano to me. I knew he was on Everyone Loves Raymond, but like he always played like a sad sack, right? And then in this movie, yeah, he's like kind of a beast. He's kind of a boss. He's really self assured,
yeah,
and confident. And then all of a sudden, I then the next time I see him is in The Office where he plays like another sad sack boss person. So, but no, this movie. Well, as I'm discovering, being a Blue Sky film, they only make animal movies. This film has human beings, the Neanderthal characters, and the next movie to have human beings was 10 years later in Rio. They don't make human being movies. It's so interesting. I had no idea that this is like a exclusively animal based animation studio, but I think it was especially for that. This time, this is kind of like this era of Shrek and Ice Age being these two huge anime movies that kind of pioneered huge things in terms of animation. I mean, Scrat as like this non-speaking side character that gets so much spotlight and like own and kind of creates, you know, its own storyline is not something that you really see in animated film before this, and something that you see all the time after. So I think Ice Age kind of set the tone for that and introducing a little bit more sarcasm and more adult themes in the animated films that came after it. So when it comes to that, I think that this is something that kind of marks a significant shift in animation, in 3D animation especially, even though it was not supposed to be 3D animation. I think the original director walked away because he was like, there's no way I'm doing CG. So they're like, all right. Bye, we're getting this new guy. So that's why they brought in Chris Wedge to help do it. So yeah, so it's I'm excited to hear what the panelists think about how it holds up and how it, you know, how it sits in terms of its place in society. Because I think that is everyone knows this movie. I feel like this is one of those anime movies that definitely hits the mark, as to everyone of our generation has seen this film and has opinions about it. So I'm curious what our panelists have to say.
Yeah, I am also curious. I know some things, and what you said, we are going to hear about if it holds up or not. And so, yeah, I'm excited to get into it. And so I think that's what we'll do. We'll introduce our panelists, and then we'll get off and running. And so, yes, starting with the roasters this week. First up, we got theater educator, Disney fan, actual now confirmed Zac Efron expert. You can find her and a bunch of board games on social media at Board Games. It's Alex Garamoni.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here to set the record straight and, you know, ice out the haters.
I didn't know, Alex, that you were fully, you know, confirmed and notarized as a Zac Efron specialist. That's so
absolutely
fun.
Yes. Thank you so much. Officially that actually happened certified. This past Congratulations. Week. Yep. Officially a certified freak 7 days a week, Zac Efron freak. That is. Yes, I have hit the benchmark. 28 films, not a bad one among them. That's not true. Listen, the only thing, the biggest criticism I will give Ice Age off the bat is no Zac. No Zac. So if you come in looking for Zac, he's not in this. So just know that.
He was like five.
Very young, yeah.
And he wasn't in this movie, yes.
Yeah. Damn shame.
Every movie pre-Zac Efron, 2 stars lower.
It's not good. It's not good. Because
he didn't exist yet.
Citizen Kane, boo.
Knocked off the top of the list. Well, it's great to have you here. We're excited to get into it. And also roasting this week, he's a teacher of the children and a Godzilla expert. You can find him on Instagram at Possess Ian. Ian Coleman.
Hey, Rob. Good to be here.
Do you want your students to know about that Instagram account?
No. Well, yeah, probably no.
We'll censor it and post. Don't worry.
That's fine. We'll keep it in. They don't listen to the show.
No, I don't think they do.
Kids don't listen to podcasts. Well, it's great to have you here this week. How are you also?
You know, it's just a pretty heavy time. Like this season is always kind of a rush for getting papers graded and getting grades finalized and getting late assignments in, and just, you know, the general holiday stress of, you know, it's like December is like a really surprisingly stressful time for kids anyway. And, even more so in the pandemic situation we're in. So it's a little heavy, and I'm glad to be here just talking, movies about cute animals with friends.
Yes.
Yay.
Quick shout out to all the educators. Thank you for doing so much hard work in this pandemic time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're like the last line of defense against despair. It's kind of how I view myself. I'm like on the, if the teachers give up, then society collapses.
It's a phalanx of education. Like, hold!
Phalanx.
Yeah, at least that's how I'm keeping myself motivated.
Nice. Shout out to all the cute animals too. Well, very good. Those are our roasters, and across the metaphorical City. Table from them is our defense this week. Co-producer of Seattle's The Moth, a storyteller herself. You can find her on Twitter at Casey Rom. Casey Rom.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. I'm happy for the cute animal dedication. I've got my cute animal curled up on my lap right now, so we're going to get through this. We got past the technical difficulties, and
yes,
I'm ready to defend this masterpiece.
We'll get there. Well, yeah. Well, very good. And so, you know how this goes. First things first, we got a movie in a minute.
Yes,
and
we
so
do.
Let's get the full plot synopsis of Ice Age, spoilers and all, from you. And we'll give you 60 seconds and a 3 count. Are you ready?
Sure.
I guess. okay. Well, very good. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, our movie is bookended by Scrat. He is some kind of squirrel-like creature who causes a big avalanche by trying to bury his single acorn in the ice. This leads us to meeting Sid. He's a ground sloth. His whole family left him, and everyone's migrating to get away from the Ice Age. He has a run-in with some rhinos and is saved by Manny, who is a woolly mammoth, and kind of decides to tag along with Manny moving forward. In the meantime, there is a pack of saber-toothed tigers. One of them is Diego. They're trying to get revenge on a pack of Neanderthals who killed some of their pack. And Diego tries to corner the woman who has the baby that they want to eat as revenge. And she goes over a waterfall. The baby lives and is rescued by Manny. And so Diego joins up with their herd, pretending to be on their side when really he's trying to eat the baby for his pack
and
leader.
And you're out of time.
Oh my God. It's so much harder.
Oh no.
The movie Casey, has been set up.
Casey, it's 80 minutes long.
I wanted all the new ones.
Well, that's those are all the main players. It's baby football, pretty much. And so, yeah, the little family unit, Manny, Sid, and Diego, are trying to get this baby back to the humans, or I guess they're not humans, right?
They're Neanderthals.
Neanderthals. Neanderthals. And Diego's running a little espionage. I'm really gonna deliver them to the other saber tooths, and we'll eat that mammoth and also that baby. And so as they go, they bond, and Diego starts to kind of come to enjoy being part of this little new herd that they've made up. Leads them through his ice cave across a caldera. See the baby takes first steps. All kinds of nice stuff keeps happening. And so Manny, they catch wind that Diego's trying to, or he comes clean, really. And so then they work out some kind of plan to subdue the saber-tooths and instead get the baby to the humans. Diego sacrifices himself in this attempt to kind of keep off the, what are they called? Saber-tooths, fuck, from eating Manny and everybody else. And so then that gets Manny and Sid able to take the baby to the humans. And it's just a nice moment where, you know, hey, we can all coexist together. They hand over the baby. The baby goes off with the people. Diego has 9 lives. He comes back to life and he joins them again. Or he wasn't really dead. There's no way to know. It happens off screen. And they are kind of this little family herd unit off into several sequels. And that's Ice Age. Ends with a global warming joke. And so, yeah, everybody, that's the thing. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Casey will get your opening statements while you're here defending the Ice Age. Everybody, we will be right back. We're back, everybody. Welcome back to our Ice Age episode. Happy December, I suppose. And right before the break, Casey thawed it big time. And so didn't quite make it through the movie. And so anyways, let's get your opening statements. Why are you here defending Ice Age?
Yeah, well, Casey kind of preferenced this in the beginning, but I do think that this movie was kind of a pinnacle of our generation. I remember watching it probably in middle school and like continuing to quote the dodo birds well into high school. And I think it's just like a fun, cute, inoffensive, funny at times family movie that in my opinion holds up because it doesn't have anything like super cringy on a rewatch, and lately that seems to be the thing that will deter me from an old fave, is that I realize how problematic it is. And I think this is just like three dads and a baby.
Oh, that would have been some casting, I'll tell you what. If they would have just had those three to it.
I did forget how much of this movie I already knew, like, just speaking to Casey's point. Like rewatching it, you're like, oh yeah, that line and that line. The entire Dodo scene I memorized. Oh my god.
Or that song, I'm not gonna sing it, but you know the song. Yep.
Oh. Very good. Well, Roasters, I think we could start with the plot. I know, Alex, you were talking about science. Either or, I don't know. Who would like to go first?
Yeah, I've got some science. So I watched this film with my resident civil engineer.
She doesn't live in your house.
Okay, well, she's on my retainer.
There you go.
That's my little sister. Anyway, she is an expert in water systems. That's her emphasis. And as we're watching the film, pretty early on, the Ice Age baby and his mother, they jump off that waterfall, and the mom is clinging to that thing, and she pushes the baby up, and that's how the baby is found by this unlikely band of heroes, if you will. And as this is happening, I'm just watching and taking in the scene, and I heard my sister say, "Why did she just die?" And I said, "Well, she drowned." And she's like, "Why? She's breathing. She's holding on to it. She's not gray. She exhibits no signs of hypothermia. This woman could have crawled out of the water grabbed the mammoth trunk, because apparently we trust babies with mammoths. So why not trust ourselves with mammoths?" So the whole kind of big inciting incident to get the baby into the hands of these animals just was absolutely ridiculous. And there were multiple points throughout the film where my sister would just volunteer, "Hey, that's actually not how the freezing temperature of water works, or that is not how the Ice Age came to be and came to pass." And although I understand this is a children's film, I would like to assert that this gave us unrealistic expectations as children for what it is to exist in snowy climates. And it taught me blatant disrespect for the cold, to be fair.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So many responses.
There's a lot to unpack here.
I'll unpack it all for you.
Please.
You're definitely overthinking it, and so is your sister.
Wow.
For one, the woman, A, we don't actually know if she dies, because she floats away in true child movie. Like most children's movies, you don't see explicit death. So
she just
we
peace
don't
out?
Actually know. She
Mama
she,
just peace what? Up?
She went to go meet up with Andy's mom.
Game of Thrones rules. We didn't see her die, so she's not dead.
Here's the thing. If you leapt over that tall of a waterfall, it's possible she hit a rock on her way down. It's possible she has some internal bleeding going on.
No
if
blood.
If she was literally, we don't know that though. It could be under the water. Like, I think that that's a silly thing to get hung up on. And it's like the inciting incident of the movie. It has to happen.
She was also the only woman in her tribe. I don't know if we all clocked that. Only one woman, one baby.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. It's like there are like a bunch of guys in that tribe who are like of equal age, and it's like, do they just like not get mates? Like, is it only like the chieftain's right to like have a mate? Only he
gets maybe. Maybe this is why the Neanderthals are not going to make it much longer. But additionally, I think that getting hung up on the idea of the Ice Age is also silly, because we hear multiple times that the Ice Age is coming. It's not technically there yet. They're migrating. They're trying to get away from it. So there would still be things like running water. You know, there's running water all over the place where there's ice. Like, if it's running, then it's more likely to stay running.
It just felt like they used the Ice Age as convenient when it suited the plot. Like, guys, the snowstorm's coming. The pass is going to close. We'll never find those humans again, because the Ice Age is tomorrow, and then it's not going to be tomorrow. You know, like they used the Ice Age to push the narrative here, instead of science.
In a movie called Ice Age. What a wonder.
That was always my biggest nitpick as a kid, is like, and even it bothered me when I was a kid, and it still kind of bothered me now. It's like, it's called Ice Age, but the Ice Age really doesn't factor into anything at all. It's like a background detail that really doesn't come into play. It could have just been like, I don't know what title would have been better. Like, you know,
three dads,
mammoth daddy,
three dads and a baby, or like furries in the snow, or
furries in the snow.
Setting it in the Ice Age started a climate change conversation amongst our generation as like middle schoolers, which, you know, I don't remember. I remember like talking about the ozone maybe before that, but I don't really remember talking about global warming or the Ice Age before this movie came. So if that's a tenuous connection that ultimately led to a generation of environmentalists, I'll take it.
Well, they should have called it something else.
Well, hey, the name is dumb.
Yeah, the name is dumb.
I heard this was Greta Thunberg's biggest inspiration.
Oh, shit. You never know.
Could be.
She saw Ice Age and was like, I'm not going to school anymore. Let's talk about the plot, which we kind of already touched on. Ian, I don't know if you have more to add other than, where's the Ice Age?
Well, I mean, as far as like animated movie plots go, it's pretty derivative. It's like, what really struck me about it is like, it essentially is the plot of like, you know, the most popular animated films at the time just kind of like stitched together, and it's not even thought out as well as those movies. Like it's basically Shrek. It's that, you know, like annoying sidekick paired with grumpy loner meets Monsters, Inc., the Monsters, Inc. plot of like returning the cute thing to its home. But like, unlike either of those movies, like a lot of the stuff that is touched on, like really feels undercooked. Like the character motivations don't really make a lot of sense, or they don't really gel a lot of the time. And there are these like aspects of the plot that really just don't feel well thought out at all. Like, I think the biggest example that stands out to me is like the saber-toothed tigers. And, you know, they're led by Soto, the saber-toothed tiger, who like wants revenge on the Neanderthal tribe for killing half his pack, which is like a great villain motivation, and it makes sense. But like nobody else in the pack really seems to be bothered by that at all. Like nobody else besides him seems to reference it. And like even Diego, who's like supposedly like his right-hand man, really doesn't seem to care about the whole revenge element at all. Like he's pretty much just doing the plot because he's told to. And I don't really get a sense of like how he's impacted by like this supposedly big motivating event of like, you know, a genocide of his entire pack. Feels undercooked. I also don't understand why like Manny's grumpy the same way that Shrek is. I mean, it's like with Shrek, it's like, okay, like he pushes people away because he's not used to being liked. And I guess Manny's backstory is like his family died, and that supposedly makes him like hate other animals, even though it was the humans that killed his family. But he seems to have no problem like delivering this human baby to its family, even though they killed his family. Like it feels a little like the pieces don't quite match up.
I think that the central plot for me, or like the moral that I take away, is that all of these characters are without their pack, right? Like Manny's family is dead. Sid's family left him behind. Diego is on thin ice with his pack leader if he doesn't deliver this baby, and the baby is obviously separated from the pack. And it becomes clear to these three main characters that they're not going to get their pack back, and the best thing that they can do is give the baby its pack back, and then they'll become a pack together. And they're all fighting the same, you know, real threat, which is the Ice Age. So I think that there's a better connection there. And I actually think that the backstory with Manny's family is really important to that. And what kind of separates it from like a Shrek situation is that we know why he's a loner, and we also know why he might be willing to like break that shell down to have a family again.
I guess I just don't track, like, how does your entire family, like he seems to take it out on everybody except like the actual species responsible for it. I don't get it.
I think I'd like to talk a little bit about characters, Casey, because I think you brought up a very important character to this storyline. Folks, I'd like to draw your attention to the Ice Age baby himself. I'm going to take
this
back.
Do we know? Hey. Do we know that it's a he?
Yes. His name is Roshan. Oh. He a boy. Let me tell you a little bit about my boy Roshan. But out of respect for the communities that he has harmed, I will no longer use his name. We'll just call him Ice Age Baby. So Ice Age Baby, back in January 2020, a tweet was sent out by Klein 69 Mr. Curl. And he said in his tweet, and I quote, it's a picture of Roshan, the Ice Age Baby. And it says, retweet if you would beat the shit out of Ice Age Baby. At the time that this article was posted, that post had gained over 71,000 retweets and 159,000 likes. And it took about 2 months to hit that point. So pretty soon after that, we started to see spikes in the Reddit and Facebook communities dedicating to hating the Ice Age baby. There is a change.org petition actively ongoing that has 26,295 signatures, including one of the roasters on this panel's signature, that is titled Kill Ice Age Baby. And it describes a little bit about why we need to bring awareness back to this issue and take out the Ice Age baby. And what I found to be just most engaging about this data is that all of a sudden, both Gen Z and millennials, two groups who have at times been at war with one another, came together and rallied around killing the Ice Age baby. And there's something about him that absolutely fills the internet with rage. I can't tell you exactly what that is. It's a sort of, joie de vivre?
The opposite of joie de vivre, then?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of that. It could be his face. He looks terrible. It could be his attitude. You know, it was like as soon as someone gave permission, out of the woodwork crawled every person who's ever been victimized by this baby. And someone wrote, you know, one of my earliest memories is hating the Ice Age baby. I vividly remember hoping it would get eaten by saber-toothed tigers. And this led to Twitter threads and meme reviews. Even PewDiePie did a review about this meme and talked
Yikes.
About
Yikes.
Having to, why listen, I'm not endorsing him, but I am saying that he noticed that the internet needed to talk about this. So this baby has, if for all intents and purposes, erupted the world, and people hate this baby. And I think that tells us a lot, that a character with no lines in this film from the early 2000s in the year 2020 has enraged people to the point that I don't think we can trust him, nor should we support his media, because he is probably pushing his weird Ice Age baby agenda. He is filling the world with torture and darkness. And honestly, I'll say it, and I'll say it here first. Kill Ice Age baby. That's on change.org, folks. You can sign it today.
Ice Age baby turned 18 this year.
Okay, well... Death penalty for Ice Age baby. I'll say it.
Casey, any thoughts?
respond to this because roast the movie, not the person, Alex. But I think that
Ice Age baby. I think
Ice Age baby.
Ice Age baby is a person, and for the purposes of this argument, but also all of the people who inexcusably hate Ice Age baby are people. And here's a fun fact about people. 1 in 4 people is a sociopath. 1 in 4. Okay. So I think.
I believe that Ice Age Baby.
No,
is that
I
one.
Think all the sociopaths found each other and signed a petition and retweeted it. You gave PewDiePie as an example. Like, that's not supporting your argument at all. No, I'm not.
I'm just telling you, when I look at Ice Age Baby, anytime he was on screen, you know, maybe for a second I was having a good time with the good jokes and the fun times and the
You don't
and the jazzy
think it's cute
songs.
When they're all sliding down the slides and he's the only one having fun?
I wanted him to hit his head. Like, I just, I, look at him having a good time and I have less of a good time. Ice Age Baby is a war criminal.
I think this sounds like a personal problem.
Listen, I'm telling you that if a majority of the internet has a problem, I do not believe this
70,000 people. You think 70,000 people is the majority of the internet?
That's how many people wrote there. There's hundreds of thousands of people who are done with this baby.
And how many?
And I'm curious why you want to defend him. What is he? What did he do that was good?
How many people believe in Pizzagate? Because I guarantee it's more than 70,000. You think anything that's on the internet is worth supporting?
Is that because I'm just curious as to what
feels this very passionately is. About it, that that means it's worth supporting or even giving any credence to? It's a conspiracy theory. That's all it is.
I just don't think he warrants. I don't think he warrants love. You know, like he did nothing for the world.
We're not. This is not a productive conversation anymore.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some other characters.
I mean, just to sort of jump off that and, like, you know, maybe take it back to the plot of the movie. Like, he is going to kill more of their kind as an adult. Like, it's like that's one thing that really bothered me with this viewing is, like, they even bring up that fact that it's like even if we just give this baby back, like, he's going to grow up to be a hunter. Like, just like, you know, the rest of his kind. And it's like they're about to enter an ice age. So being a vegetarian Neanderthal really isn't an option in this world. And really, that's what they're doing is they're just perpetuating the cycle of hunters killing animals by giving this baby back. And they even bring that up and they don't. And even the characters in the movie just kind of shrug it off after that conversation, because like the movie just doesn't know how to explore that in a nuanced way, and it doesn't explore that, and because it's too complicated of a topic for this really simplistic movie to even bother exploring. It just feels really underthought out.
Completely disagree. I think that the moment at the end where Manny gives the baby back and the Neanderthal thinks he's gonna like strike him and then realizes that he has the baby is a moment of understanding. And I believe that at least that tribe is maybe going to, they're not going to become vegetarians by any means, but they're going to impart some wisdom on their people. And maybe they'll find the sick and dying woolly mammoths in the Ice Age. But in reality, what we know is that the dodos outlived all these idiots. So, you know, it's not up to these small moments in the food chain. Like, these animals don't have time to be precious about the food chain. That's why they don't explore it past that, because they just know that they're doing the right thing right now.
It just sort of feels like there's not really a point, though, in this specific movie. And listen, they made 5 Ice Age movies. So, nice. You know, there is clearly something here that they wanted to capitalize off of. And if I'm honest, the sequels far, far outperformed this movie for me. This movie had so many tonal shifts. It had so many things that just sort of didn't make sense. Like, I never fully buy into it when the characters are just super mean to each other all the time. Like, Manny just let Sid sit out in the rain by himself, and that was our visual gag. Like, that was so mean. Or, like, you know, Diego threatening to murder him all the time. Like, I get it. He's annoying. But you don't, you know, this didn't teach kids good values about how to treat other people. And I don't think it necessarily shows us how to treat nature, how we should respond to animals. Like, I think ultimately this movie was just like, isn't it funny to, like, roast the idiot friend in your friend group? And isn't it just wacky? And your friend who's grumpy probably had horrible trauma that will sit with you for a long period of time after this movie's over. It was all over the place in terms of what we're supposed to walk away having learned from this film. I'm just not buying what they're peddling.
I think we're supposed to learn that the more you get to know people, the more you understand about them, the less harsh judgments you're going to make. Like, by the end of the movie, Manny is nicer to Sid, and Diego's nicer to Sid, and Sid's a little less annoying, and they've kind of learned each other's, you know, how to not push each other's buttons, and they're friends, and they're a pack now. And I think that your argument about the sequels, it's like you got to have an origin story. You got to bring the characters together somehow. And like the reason to me that these movies hold up, I actually haven't watched any of the sequels, but at least this one holds up for me, is because of the cast. I think the voice cast is excellent, and they're all just, you know, kind of well-known people who do their voices so well and really just give life to those characters. In the subsequent
movies, though, like if you started at Ice Age 2 and I told you that's the first movie in the saga, in the movies that happen after this, they add characters to the story. Like Queen Latifah becomes this mammoth who was raised by possums, who Manny eventually falls in love with, and she's in multiple films. Josh Peck is one of those possums. He's in multiple films. You know who's not in multiple films? Any of the Neanderthals, specifically Ice Age Baby. So what? Jesus Christ. And I don't mean to bring it back to him, but my point is that his plot was so uninteresting and so underdeveloped and had so little bearing on their relationships that they never have to, they never even reference it again. They never, ever even reference it again. And Manny doesn't still have his little beaded necklace. That symbol meant nothing to him.
Yeah, I mean, he is a pretty naked MacGuffin. Died
saving that baby, like 4 months ago?
What was that?
Oh, did I cut out?
He's saying they were all like, oh, hey, remember when we almost died to save this baby?
Yeah.
No, me neither. Let's never talk about it again. Let's hang out with this pirate.
Yeah, I was wondering.
There's a pirate in a sequel.
I was wondering if they ever brought the baby back in one of the sequels, because my understanding is they jump around in time quite a bit. And that would have been like a perfect callback for the baby to come back as a grown-up and be... It's like this really easy to earn, or this really easy emotional moment. Have this 18-year-old baby Roshan come and hold the spear up to Manny and be like, it's you.
But they didn't do it because... They didn't do it. Because... I see baby.
Excuse me, we are not talking about the sequels. We are talking about.
But you yourself said, you know, it's a franchise. Like, if it is.
Yeah, but I think it's okay to have a standalone, you know, adventure story about three unlikely characters coming together. Like, I think that's enough. I think it's a cute, fun movie with funny moments, and it doesn't need to be anything other than that.
But the sequels have that. But also no evil baby. And if you don't care about that, they're at least nicer to each other.
Let's get one thing straight. There's no evidence to support that this baby's evil, okay? So we can leave that. We can take that point and we can leave it where you found it on the internet.
I disagree.
Well, that's what the show's about. We're about out of time anyways. We might as well unmask. I just don't want to hear about this baby anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
let's do it. Let's go ahead. We'll unmask everybody. Let's talk about how we really feel. And yeah, Casey, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I would probably put it at like a 6 out of 10. I wasn't mad about rewatching it. I do think that the animation probably doesn't hold up as much as other parts of the movie that I did like. I did like the humor. I liked the voice cast. I liked the music. I had a hard time with the animation. We've been so spoiled by animation in the last couple of years that it's like, ugh, that's the best you could do.
Nice. All right, Aggie, do you actually love the baby?
No, I don't love the baby. It's okay. I do think the sequels are better. I honestly do. I remember we watched this movie so much as kids. Like, as I was watching it with my sister, we both were just quoting the whole thing, and it was like pieces I had forgotten I even knew, like the Tiggy Wiggy or like any of the stuff that was happening. I think that Send Me On My Way with the Ice Age, like while they're journeying through the snow, is one of my favorite like musical journey motifs in anything. I love that. I don't actually, you know, my sister and my cousin hate that baby. Like, there was a period of time when every time I opened my phone, it was just venom towards this baby. So, like, honestly, I fought in their honor today, but I don't really care about this baby. I did sign a petition, but I don't really care. It's okay. It's okay. That's how I give this movie. It's okay.
Ian,
I liked it. I think it's perfectly fine. I think, you know, it was a pretty big staple of my childhood too. I saw it twice, at least twice in the theaters with both my parents, and they really enjoyed it. I watched it multiple times when it came to DVD. I watched this movie a lot, and I wouldn't say that it quite held up as a classic for me. I'd also give it a solid, you know, maybe like a 6.5, 7 out of 10, but I think it's a perfectly enjoyable movie. It's got really entertaining characters. The humor isn't irritating, which, you know, I was really shocked by how well the humor held up for me. I thought that it's just a, you know, it's a good journey movie, and the character beats work well enough. And yeah, it's not quite a full meal in the same way that the, you know, the best animated movies are, but it's a pretty tasty hors d'oeuvre. Like, if I had kids, I would have no qualms about watching this movie over and over. It's perfectly good.
It's like the Ice Age, baby. Not a full meal, perfectly good hors d'oeuvre.
Yep, exactly.
Kwesi.
Yeah, it's fine. it's like one of those animated movies that, like, you, it's like one of those, like, oh yeah, Ice Age. That for me, like, I think that I remember watching it so many times when I was younger, obviously, and like, yeah, I just could quote it randomly. And now that I think about it, I also remember not really liking that baby when I watched it. Now that I really think about it, not to the point where I'm like, you know what, Diego, just, you know,
about.
Do like a quick, do a
I'll
quick
send
one,
you the
two
link.
Jaws. No, I don't.
I'm gonna send you the link.
I don't need your QAnon links. Keep them.
I'll send you some
Keep
links.
Them. I don't need them. But I think this is good. Yeah, I love that song, and I think Sid was. I loved Sid as a character, and Manny's coldness is hilarious too. So I think it's one of those like great, you know, feel good junk food animated movies. Although I don't like what they did with Scrat. If you talk about it, it's in the past, like with Minions and with these other characters that just become like, just like money marketing pieces.
Yeah.
And just like barf.
He's a pretty cynical marketing character, and I remember a lot of the marketing emphasized him pretty heavily. And I remember watching this as a kid and kind of feeling like I'd been tricked by the actual plot. Like a lot of the marketing, at least that I was exposed to, really didn't reference it at all. And then it's not this Looney Tunes movie about this cute squirrel in the Ice Age. It's actually this buddy journey movie.
Right.
We were sold a bill of goods.
We sure were. Robert?
Yeah, I probably have not watched this since before 2010. and I think I agree with everybody. It's fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with the movie. I'm sure the animation suffered because they changed directions partway through. Because, like, I don't know, even Shrek looks better than this movie. And that's from a year before this came out. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the characterization was really strong, and that's what I think kind of kept people watching it more. Because it was kind of these three dads and a baby kind of energy, where it was like they were all their own specific characters, and it was easy to tell them apart. And so, I mean, that's what I also liked about it, was just the way they played off each other. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fine. I would still show this if I was say, hey, let's watch the Ice Age movies. I would still show the first one to kick it off.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I really appreciated, it was the finale where like everything comes together. Like it feels like we're just kind of overloaded with all these finales in animated movies that are filled with spectacle and these big set pieces. And it was really refreshing just to see an ending where it's just a chase scene down a mountain. It's just the character arcs wrapping up and that's it.
Yeah.
Like it concluded the story and it didn't do more than it needed to do.
Sure.
That was nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody, that's going to do it for our Ice Age episode. We're going to keep talking. I hope not about the fucking baby over on our extended plays, our post show. I roll your eyes at me. we can talk about the baby. It's fine. But yeah, everybody. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. We're going to talk over on extended play, which is our post show just for our Patreon folks. Everybody. So if you want to get in on that, head over to patreon.com/24flamespod. Help support the show and get a bunch of other good stuff while we're there. Yeah, everybody, if you got thoughts about Ice Age, you can email us at 24flamespod@gmail.com. You can find us on social media at 24flamespod. And wherever you get your podcasts, go leave a rating, review, subscribe, whatever you do to help more people find the show, and let us know how we're doing. Please do it, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Good Pods, whatever. Yeah, we look forward to seeing any notes you got. And then let's see. This is the beginning of December. There's a we owe y'all the Patreon folks a drink along, so keep an eye out for that if you head over there as well. Yeah, everybody. This episode of 24 Flames Per Second is produced and hosted by me, Robert Spiewak. It's co-hosted by Kwesi Phillips. Panels this week on the Roasters were Alex Garamoni and Ian Coleman, and the defense was Casey Rahm. And our show music is composed, produced, and performed by Rob Joins and Will Paulson. And our network and co-op Party Fish Media is produced by Kwesi Phillips, Will Paulson, and me, everybody. And so, yeah, next week we will be back with another episode to celebrate Hanukkah. We are talking about Call Me By Your Name. Yeah, everybody call him back for that. It should be a good time. Not as wintry. It literally takes place in Italy in the summer. But there's winter at the end of it. So come back for that, everybody. We're looking forward to it next week. So we'll catch you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Media. Party Fish Media acknowledges that it operates and records on indigenous Duwamish and Puget Sound Coast Salish land that is still home to the Duwamish tribe. This land is stolen in violation of the Point Elliott Treaty of 1855. We are committed to uplifting the name of these lands and community members from these nations who reside alongside us. For more information on this land, its people, or ways you can help, visit duwamishtribe.org or realrentduwamish.org.